Good to be here this morning. Bill Shackle from the Baptist Church. I enjoyed the last time we were here, and with great anticipation looking forward to this time that we could meet together. I've only met your pastor one time, but fell in love with him before I even met him on the phone. And thank a lot of Brother Curley. And it is encouraging to see God's house filled. You know, God likes a full house. He said, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be full.
Yeah.
He does like a full house. And it's good that God's house is full because we can get together. And I trust and feel the Spirit of God and be able to rejoice in what God has done. There's a lot of rejoicing that goes on underneath the roots of a lot of old Baptists. And I have a desire this morning, if it be God's will, and you pray for me, to say something to you that might be a comfort. If there's anything at all that comes out of this old sinner's mouth, let's honor and glorify to God. Then you thank God for it. Because I assure you there's nothing that's going to come out of my mouth that's going to be pleasing to God in my flesh. I'd like to take some time this morning. Brother Curley told me to go ahead and take as much time as I need, so I'm not going to run. I won't run over today, Brother Curley.
Don't worry about that.
If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to the 56th Psalm. The text that I have this morning is trust and fear, and how those two things daily are with us daily, it seems like, one or the other. David wrote in this 56th Psalm, starting off with the first verse, he says, be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high. Now I want you to listen to this third verse. It's a short third verse, but it's got so much in it. He says, What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I'm afraid, I will trust. You know, David was a very courageous man. We can see where David did many things. Of course, God was there leading, but he was very courageous. We see where God delivered him from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. He was there to try to take care of his father's sheep, just like Christ. He was there to take care of Jesse's sheep and will not even allow even one to be taken from the fold, my friends. He was very courageous. You know, I'm afraid that if it were me, that I would probably take an armful of sheep that I could and run and try to get away. But I want you to see David fought against just one little ewe lamb. And I want you to see the Ebenezer that he had in his back pocket when he came out there on the big battlefield against the Philistines, you see. And we see the great valor and the great courage that David had there. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God? Yeah. And we don't see David timid of sneaking down there trying to sneak up behind the giant. No, my friends, he went down there running.
Yeah.
He went down there with courage.
Amen.
You see, he was full of courage, you see. He trusted in God. But I want you to see even David, my friends, even David, as much courage as he had, as many Ebenezers as he had in his back pocket, the times that he saw God deliver him from the enemy, I want you to see that he still feared at times. He still feared. He said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. You know, if David gets afraid sometimes, and it shouldn't be uncommon that me or you sometimes, there's things in life that come against us that causes us to be afraid. But you see, David was saying, but I will trust in God. You see, there was a time there that he could trust in God when he was afraid of the enemy, when he was afraid of anything. Dear child of God, I want to tell you today, you've got a heavenly Father that's alive, that's living now, ever, that ever liveth, my friends, that Paul said ever liveth to make intercessions for us. And I want to tell you something. He's a present help in time of need. He's there for us, my friends, when the storms of life are gathered around us and we can't see anywhere. I want to tell you, God is there for us now. And we need to pray to God. You know, Paul, David prayed to God over in the 55th Psalm, I believe it is. He said, "But as for me, I will call upon God. And I will, and the Lord shall save me," he said. "Evening, morning, and noon, when I pray and cry aloud, he shall hear my voice." I want to tell you something, my friends. If you've ever had the need and felt the afflictions and had the need to turn to God, has He not always been there for you? Amen. Has He not always been a ready help in a time of need? Has He not always been there to take you up and lift you up out of your troubles and turmoils? You know, I was talking to my brother last night. And you know, if it was me, and thank God it's not me. But if it was me, I'd be saying, "Well, where were you when things were going good? Where were you when you didn't think you needed me?" You see? But I can't even comprehend the mercy of God and the grace of God. That even though we turn our backs to God from time to time in this old vile, wicked world, when we're brought to a place that we need God, He's there for us. He's there to bring us in. Oh, aren't you thankful this morning, my friends, it's not according to your obedience that God has mercy on you? Now, aren't you glad that it's not you or anything that you have to do that causes God's mercy to be bestowed upon you, my friend? No, it's not. It's because of everything that He's done, don't you see, that He can bestow His mercy upon us. I want to tell you something. When you begin to get downtrodden and afflicted, the world, and you begin to cry, the world's not going to hear your cries. The world's not going to see your tears. The world's too busy, aren't we? We're too busy. But I want to tell you, there's one that does hear your cries in the night. There's one that does see your tears. I thank God for this. You see, God's made me to see how wretched I am, first of all. You see, I've got to see who I am before I see just exactly who God is.
That's right,
but He's made me to see the depths of my depravity. He's made me to see that I'm nothing and less than nothing. But I'm going to tell you, there's a great blessing in that. Because I see a God that's high and lifted up. And I see a God that's there for me in my times of need, in my times of trouble. And I want to tell you something, my friends. It's not a social. It's He's there for all His elect.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who you are or what state you're in, my friend. God is there for you. I want to tell you, I was down a few years ago. I was down in I was doing some hurricane relief work when Hurricane Floyd came in. It did so much destruction with the flooding. And I was over a logistical a staging area there where they were sending, where we were sending out water and ice, and that it was coming in. We were setting up times for these little cities that didn't have anything, you know, these little towns, and saying, "Well, we're going to bring a couple of trucks out there at this time, and that's going to, you know, and it's free. You just come get what you want." And I wanted to get out on the front line one day. I said, "I want to go out there with you." So I got somebody to cover for me, and I went out there with them. And we drove up, opened up the back of that refrigeration unit on the back of that big semi-truck, began to pass out water to everybody that was coming by. And you know, something I noticed there that struck me odd. You know, there was old Farmer Brown there with his ripped trousers there to get some water and to get some ice. His poor old family. But you know, right beside him was the man in the Gucci clothes and the Mercedes Benz parked right beside the old Farmer Brown's truck. And you know, something I noticed was all these different people were starting to talk to one another. And they were sharing stories of the things that they had lost and the things that they had suffered. And I noticed from time to time they would help one another. You see, they'd help one another, trying to help each other out, get the water, and one of them would ask me, he'd say, how much can I get? And I'd say, how many can you carry, brother? I said, all you can carry. You know, when God's people, God's church, I want to tell you, it's full of afflicted people. And they're from all different social realms in this life. You have the poor, monetarily speaking, and the rich, monetarily. But I want to tell you something, we can gather together under God's house. And we have something in common, my friends. What we've got in common is the poor, afflicted spirit that's within us and the need to worship and serve God in a time of fear and a time that we see we need Him. He says, trust in Him, you see. You see, we're all desiring that water. We're all desiring to drink from the fountain of living waters, you see. Do you desire this morning? Where is your mind this morning? Is it on the things of the world or is it on things of God? I want to tell you something. God can bring you to a place, dear friends, where all the things of the world mean nothing to you. They mean nothing. Paul said in the 3rd chapter of Philippians, I count it all but dung. I count it all but dung that I may win in Christ and be found in Him. I want you to listen to that. Being found in Him. If I lost my pocket knife on the couch and I went back and I found it, my friend, it didn't just appear there. I found it there. It was already there. Paul was already in Christ. He just never knew it. He never knew it, but he said, I was found in Him, my friend. And it wasn't until after he counted all that but done. I want you to see he was found in Christ, and that's when he began to rejoice in what God had done. Why? Because he rolled over all his works towards Christ. He submitted himself to Christ. And the psalmist says in 119, 119, I think it's 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I want you to listen to that. You know, before we're afflicted, when things are going good, you see, we just want to go out here in the world and do our own thing. I'm doing all right. Everything's going good. But you know, when affliction comes along, it draws us to the mercy seat, doesn't it? It draws us back to Christ. It draws us desiring our Savior once again. I want to tell you something, my friends. I don't know the troubles and the trials this morning that's going on in your life. Maybe there's none that's going on. But this is for those, my friends, who are troubled by the tribulations and the trials of this life and whatever it is that besets you by the way, that you can draw strength and comfort and trust in God. He's there for you now. I don't know. It might be food, water, drink. It might be clothes, raiment. Your troubles might be work. Your troubles might be family troubles. Maybe your troubles are church troubles. I don't know what your troubles are this morning. But my friends, in our time of fear, we can turn to God. You see, that's what Peter did, didn't he, when he was walking out on that water. You know, everything was all right with the Apostle Peter. When he saw he wasn't even looking at the boisterous waves at the time. He was looking at his Savior. And my friends, as long as we're looking at Christ and what He's done for us, we can walk over our troubles and trials. But it was Peter did just so much of what I do so many times. He began to look down at the boisterous winds and the waves, and he began to sink. But what did Peter do? He said, save me, I perish. Save me. What did Christ do? He said, immediately he rested out his arm and brought him out of that.
Amen.
You see, isn't God a merciful God? Surely, from time to time in your life, you've suffered the afflictions of this world in one form or another, and God has been there for you and helped you through. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. You know, I read where Adam was afraid of God in the Garden of Eden, and he went to hide from God. He went to hide from God, but I want to tell you what David desired to do, dear child of God, and what every one of us ought to desire to do this morning is not to hide from Him, but to hide in Him. You see, we need to hide in Christ. You see, He is our refuge. He is a man. A man, He said over in the 32nd, and is it Isaiah, 32nd chapter of Isaiah, in the second verse, I believe, And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. As a covert from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place. As the rock, as the shadow of a rock, of a great rock in a weary land. A man. Why does it say a man? I want to tell you why. So you know, Paul said there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You know why it says a man and didn't specify that it was God? It's God. Oh, there's no doubt this morning in my heart, dear child of God, that we're speaking about God being that hiding place. Well, we're talking about what we're talking about, my friend. Do you know what makes a good supervisor in the workplace? I want to tell you what makes the best supervisor in the workplace. I've seen them come and go. The best one is the one that started down on the bottom and worked his way to the top. You see, it's not the one that came in with a master's degree or the doctorate's degree and sat down in the office and began to sling the orders to the people below him. He didn't have any idea what they were going through. But my friend, it's the one that starts down here at the bottom and sees what they're going through and then works here at the top. I want to tell you, that kind of supervisor right there will watch out for you, won't he? He'll watch out for you. Do you know Christ did the same thing? He was made a little lower than the angels. And I want to tell you something, my friend. He suffered while he was in this life. He knows the afflictions. We have not in high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was an all-wise, always tempted like as we are. We can come boldly to the throne, my friend, because of what Christ has suffered. He knows our sufferings. He knows our pains. And we can come to Him. A man shall be as an hiding place. What's that it says over, and I want to get that right quick, over in the second chapter of Hebrews. It's not coming to my mind. Let me turn over here right quick. Excuse me. It says in the 18th verse, For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And in that he himself suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. Do you know what that suckering right there, S-U-C-C-O-U-R? When you look it up and you bring it all down there, it means to run to help. You see, God is ready to run to help for us because he knows our pain and our sorrow. We can hide in him. We can trust in God. I want to tell you, there was a school teacher one time that told her little students, said, draw a picture, if you will, of what you want to call peace. I said, give me a picture of peace and tell me what that is. And she gathered them up at the end of the day and she began to look at the pictures and she saw one little child that drew a picture of a pretty meadow. And everything was calm. The sun was up. It was beautiful. That was her picture of peace. She looked at another one. She saw the beautiful placid ocean out there, calm. Saw a ship just sitting out there, or a sailboat. The moon starting to come up. Beautiful picture of peace. And she looked at another one that threw us. And she looked at one and it had a great big old waterfall coming down, splashing against the rocks. And there were dark, ominous clouds overhead and rain was pouring down. And there was a bolt of lightning coming out of the clouds. And she said, my goodness, how can this be a picture of peace? But as she began to look a little bit closer, she saw way up there in the cliff of the rock, she saw a little bird. A little bird nestled back in the cliff of that rock, my friend. And you see, it was peace for the bird. You see, it was great peace for that bird. Now, I want to tell you something. The trials and the afflictions of this life won't stop, my friends, so long as we're in this flesh. They'll keep right on coming. But I want to tell you something. There's a place that we can hide. There's a place that we can go to in Christ and be able to overcome these trials and afflictions. Now, I want to tell you, I'm talking not to the dead alien sinner this morning. I'm talking to the child of God that's been quickened by the Spirit of God. And now, because of that, has a desire to follow on to know God more. That's who I'm talking to this morning. I'm talking to God's children here this morning. And I believe everyone here has been quickened by the Spirit of God. Draw nigh unto him and he'll draw nigh unto you, my friends. Oh, you say, I don't know any afflictions. Hang on. Because they're coming. As long as you live in this life, afflictions are coming. But know this, dear child of God, that when you begin to grow in fear, that we can trust in Him, and He is there for us. You say, that's the blessed news. I want to tell you what, I wouldn't take anything in the world for God's peace, for God's rest that He gives me in my times of affliction, in my times of troubles and trials. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. I want to take you now over to Isaiah 12:2. And I want to show you a verse over there. It just takes it up just a little step more. Now I want to tell you it's a great gospel, my friends. It's a great comfort to this old wretched sinner's heart to know that when I'm in fear, I can trust in God and He'll deliver me. But I want you to see what we read here in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, starting off. It says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and Thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation." Listen here. I'm going to trust and be not afraid. Now I want to tell you something. God is there for us, that we can trust in Him in times of fear. But I want you to see what Isaiah is saying here. He's saying, "I will trust and be not afraid." Do you know, my friends, we don't have to wait until the tempestuous seas begin to rock our boat. That if we'll trust in God before the swelling of the seas, if we'll drop the anchors. You know, there was two boats out on the ocean, and the great sea swelling was coming in, you see. And the storm was coming in, the clouds were rolling in, and the ocean began to white cap, and the men on one ship began to scurry around to and fro, all up and down the deck, my friends, trying to get the anchors out into the ocean. And while they looked over on the other ship, they didn't see any frantic at all over there on that other ship. And as soon as they finally got their anchors in the ship, they hollered out at the other one and said, "Hold there, you're not going to put your anchors out?" He said, "Oh, don't worry about us. We've already had them out. We've already had them out, my friend." I want to tell you something. It's great comfort this morning to have that anchor of trust. Have the anchor of faith out before the troubles come in. Why? Because see, He says, "I will trust in Thee and be not afraid." And be not afraid. I want to tell you something, my friends. But to be around God is to be free of fear. Be free of the things of this life. The psalmist said, "The man that feareth God shall not be afraid of evil tidings." He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. And why? He says his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But I want to tell you something, my friends. If our heart is fixed in the Lord, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, Isaiah said. Because why? Because he trusteth in Thee. Do you trust in God this morning? I want to tell you something. If you trust in God, if your mind is on God, if it's stayed on God, and your heart is fixed on God, it'll bring you through the fears and the trials and the tribulations of this life. Now I know that's true because the Bible says it is. The Bible tells me it is. You say, "Well, I can't do that, Brother Carey. I can't do that." Well, I want to tell you something. Fix your eyes on God. Fix your eyes on God and what He can do. You know, you go over to the 107th Psalm, it talks about people there that were reeling to and fro. You remember that? Reeling to and fro like drunken men on this boat. And what did it say? It said they were at their wit's end. What about being at your wit's end? Now, isn't that man? I mean, man will stay on that rocking boat just as long as he can, trying to devise means to stop that raging sea. But he said, when they were at their wit's end. You see, when we get beyond our own devised means, he said, then they cry unto the Lord. Then it's when they cry unto the Lord, and He delivereth them from their distresses and bringeth them in to a haven, to their desired haven. I want to tell you something, my friends. I hear over there in the book of Matthew, where the apostles and Jesus Christ were on the boat out in this sea, and it was being tossed to and fro. But where was Christ? He was down in the boat, sleeping. And they, what the apostles began to do, they began to fear for their lives, did they not? I want to tell you, if they had just listened to God to begin with, He said, let us get in the boat and go to the other side. I want to tell you something. If I'm going to get in the boat with Christ, and He said, let us go to the other side, what chance do you think there is of us getting to the other side? I want to tell you something. There was nothing for them to worry about on that boat, my friends. But they went down there and woke them up. Woke them up and said, care us not that we perish. Oh, my friends, I want to tell you something. If you got Christ on the boat, you're not going to perish. You're not going to He's going to carry you through to the other side, my friends. Just trust in God. You're going to be carried through to the other side. Thank God for that. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Oh, because thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You see, David, you see, there were times in David's life when he was afraid and trusted in God, and there were times in David's life that he wasn't afraid because of his trust in God. You know, our doubt and fear and our trust and our faith is just like a seesaw, isn't it? It's just like a seesaw. I mean, well, my faith in God is up high. And I'm trusting in God. I want to tell you something. I can't doubt anything. I don't doubt a thing. But I want to tell you something, dear child of God. When my doubt and my fears were elevated up high, I have little faith in God. And I'm ashamed to say that this morning. But isn't it a wonderful, merciful God that brings us on through that? Brings us on through that every time. You know, it was Paul, is the 27th chapter of Acts. Where Paul was out here on this ship, you know, he went tied and bound to Rome, you remember, and he was on this ship, and that big wind called Heraclidon was going, they were in this great big ship, and it said, you see, the men on there began to fear.
Yeah.
And it said, and they threw all the tackle out and everything overboard, you know, they were trying to lighten that ship as much as they could. And it said that they went after many days, now I want you to listen, many days they saw neither sun, star, they didn't see anything. I want to tell you something. For one steering the boat back in those days, if you didn't have that, you didn't know where in the world you were at. Because that was the only thing you could use to try to navigate or at least tell you where you were at. They didn't have any of those. They didn't know where. All they knew was they were out in the middle of this tempestuous sea being tossed about. And what does it say in that 27th chapter of Acts? After all that, it says that all hope was lost. All hope was lost. You see, where they were at their wits' end. But I want you to see where Paul was at. I want you to see, Paul didn't have that fear. You know why? Because Paul had already been fasting, hadn't he? Paul had already been fasting and praying to God. What did Paul say? Right in the middle of all of that. Paul comes up there and says, fear not! Fear not! It's all going to be all right, Paul said. Because the angel of the Lord comes in. And he told me it's going to be all right. He said, you just stay on this ship with me and we're going to be all right. And one day they arrived after that, they cast in four anchors out, didn't they? Wished for the day. And wished for the day. I thank God for his four anchors. I thank God, my friends. And those four anchors to me are found in the 8th chapter of Romans. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them, my friends, he also glorified. I think that's the four anchors, my friends, that keeps my boat steady in the tempestuous sea.
Amen.
I want to tell you something, my friends. Hitting the gospel good. Hitting God good to give us the gospel. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ himself could have come down here as he did and died on Calvary as he did and never have wanted and never spread the news, never had the Bible. It wouldn't have taken away one thing, my friends. Not one thing would it have taken away from eternal salvation. I want to tell you something. I can close this book right now. We can all file out of here and close, turn off the lights, and it ain't going to hurt you one thing concerning eternal salvation. Not one thing. But my friends, the grace of God, by His mercy and His grace, has allowed us His Word, whereby we can read and He gives us light on it. We can rejoice in what God has done. Why? Because He says He's a present help in time of need. He lets us know, my friends, that He's there for us. Now, thank God for these thoughts.
Amen.
Paul said, I've learned it in whatsoever state I'm in. In whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Therewith to be content. Now, that's not being satisfied, that's being content. The Bible says, I shall be satisfied when I awaken in his life. You see, there'll be a day of satisfaction for the child of God.
Amen.
When my soul is singing in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something, we can find contentment now. We can find contentment in the arms of Jesus Christ, our Savior, for deliverance, for a help in our times of need. We can find contentment there when we're trusting in God before the troubled waters begin to rock our boat. We need to follow God. That's what He's here for us now, to help us, to protect us. We were coming in this morning, me and my brother, and I heard you singing, "It is well with my soul." You know, the old Shunammite woman there, when Elijah saw her coming, he said, he sent his servant, said, "Go ask her if it is well with her." He went down there and said, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?" Now you remember why she was going, her child had died. Her child had died. You know what she said? "It is well. It is well." Can you say that this morning? With all the things that's going on in your life and the troubles and trials, can you say, "It is well"? It is well. God bless you. I appreciate your time. Pray for this brother behind you.